Okay, good morning. We're going to say Bechorot Daf Mem Chet on the Amud New Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah that says Mishel Lo Bichra Ishto. Okay, so Mishel Lo, he's a woman who hasn't yet had a child. The Yalda Shnei Zecharim. We've seen this before. These Mishnahs will be mentioned along the Gemara's early on, right? And his wife had two sons, like twins. Noten Chamisha Slaim Lekoi. So he gives one set of Chamisha Slaim. Rashi says the Echad Mem Bechor, right? Because one is a Bechor. Mate echad me betoch 30 yom. If God forbid one of the sons died during the 30 days, so then ha'av patur, right? Was av patur? We know this before, right? Because matzi look at Rashi, matzi lebeva b'chor mate. Who adin nami leben hanishar de patur? Okay, so basically Rashi is like this: one of them is a b'chor, right? He can basically say the b'chor is the one that died, right? And therefore the one that remains not a b'chor, so he's patur. Now Rashi says an interesting thing here. Bahai Lishna Dinakata Av Patur. Why do we say Yaha Av Patur? Right? We said Av Patur. Mishum Seifa. Because we want to say that at the end of the Mishnah, to buy the bit the Meta Av. See what happens? In the next case, this was the easy case. But then in the next case is if Meta Av Vahabanim Kayamim. Now the father dies and the children are alive. So now what's the story? It appears that Mina Torah, there is a debt that is created and the father is chayev to a Kohen money. Even the father, the moment there's a pidyon haben, it's a mitzvah from the Torah, and the Torah gives a kohen a schut. Any kohen can basically take that chamisha slain. There's a debt hovering around there which belongs to a kohen. Right? So look at this. Rabbi Meir Omer, im nitnu ad shelochilku. Right? So what does he say? If they gave, im natnu, he basically, the father gave the money, or the brothers, the children, paid for themselves now, right? They're going to pay 5 shekels because one of them is a kohen. Ad shelo chalku, before they split up the inheritance, in other words, while the inheritance is still belong in the father's inheritance, in other words, it's a complete inheritance, not new, the money's gone. It was they gave it out of the father's estate before they split it up, it wasn't theirs yet, and therefore to Tadbi, they can't now come back to the Kohen and say, we want our money back. V'im lav, however, if they haven't yet set aside the money for the Kohen, and then they split up the Nechasim, and now, obviously they didn't because they're 30 days old. Or no, maybe they're even older. You know what? I thought a baby was a Nehman. But it could even be that they hadn't done this until they were adults. And there's still this debt that's rovetzet, the chov that's rovetz on the thing. Pturin, they are patur. Rashi says, we'll see in the Gemara why they're patur. Now, that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nitchayvu nechasim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a din in the Gavra. Not a din here in the children themselves that they've got a din of their own. A din in the cheftza. There's the assets. The assets are chayev, and therefore there's a debt. Irrespective of whether they split or didn't split it, look at Rashi. Nidchavu bo nichse ha'av lekohen kabal chov. There's a debt. The father's assets have a debt to the kohen. The chayavin lifroa bein shlem, says Rashi, and the brothers themselves have an obligation to pay off this debt. Was the debt on the assets? The debt when they split, when they got their rechush, it came with a debt of chamisha slime, 5 slime to the koi. Okay, next case of the Mishnah: zachar and a keva. Because we had there mishlo bicha ishto and yalda shnei bani. What if she had 2 zacharim? Now what if she had 2 in a kevot? So obviously ein kan lekoi and klum. Right, it's a bit of a mystery. Why it's even in the Mishnah? It's pasuk to me, I think. But erogash, yeah, ein kan lekoi. Amalei. Sorry. I apologize. No, I didn't sleep well last night. Zachar and a keva, a boy and a girl. Not 2 girls. No, I read that wrong. Sorry. Right, so now we know this, obviously, we've seen this before as well. Right, so ain't kind of coin. Kum, why? The amale and a keva yatzat rishon. The father says to the kohen, when he comes to get his money, he says, no, the daughter was first born. The kohen yado ala tachtona, he's got the bottom hand. Right, the amotzi mechaveiro alava raya. He's got to prove it, and he can't prove it, therefore he gets nothing. Okay, so now the Gemara asks a question. When we said over here that Meita Av, right, Vabanim Kayamim. So the Gemara says, going on Rabbi Meir now, right, we're asking the question of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, depends when he gave it, etc. Demita Av Eimat, when did the father die? Ilema Demitla Achar Shloshim Yom. Right? But when the father didn't say when the father died, with the children it said, Mate echad mehen betoch 30 yom av patur. If the children died in the 30 days, but when it came to the father, it just said the father died and he left children. The question is, when did the father die? If he died after 30 days, right? And in this case, remember, Rabbi Meir was the one who said that Rabbi Meir could not do that. If he gave the money before they split the ruchush, so therefore he's chayev, and if not, he's patur. So mostly what I'm saying, if he died after 30 days, Rabbi Meir kichal kupaturin? Is Rabbi Meir, this is the case Rabbi Meir says, if they've already split the rechush, the father died after 30 days, they split the rechush, and therefore he's patur. How can he be patur? Vaha ishtabdu leh nechasai. The father's nechasim are meshua badim to the dead. Because when did the pidyon haben kick in? On the 30th day, right? So at day 30, there now was a debt was created on the assets of the father. So if he died after 30 days, he died when the debt was already created. So how can you say that if they haven't yet split the rechush, or whatever the case of they split it, it's patur? How can they be patur? There's no patur here. The father's assets were around. He died after 30 days. They could never have inherited the money before 30 days because the father's still alive. After 30 days, there was a debt created for Pidyon HaBen. There's a chov avia. How can there be? The rest is you're right. Ela demit betoch toshim yom. Therefore, we're talking about a case when? When the father died during 30 days. See, Rashi says here, ha ishtabud nechase, de chov ma'aliyahu. This is a very, very good debt. There's no question here on the debt. Okay, so now we know we're speaking about the mit betuch, the father died within the 30 days. So now, mashna ki chalku, what's the difference if they've already split the assets or they haven't split the assets? Why is it important? Why is it important? Because what happens is, as the gabi hai, the coin goes to the one brother, says, no, my other brother, the debt's in his half. As the gabi hai, and then he goes to the other brother, says, no, the debt's in that off. But he can't claim the debt. They've split the rechush now. Each one saying that the other brother is the one who owes you the money. Or maybe the other one's the koi. But, okay. So the Gemara said, but I don't understand.
The koi is not the one who owes.
We're saying over here that if the father died after 30 days, so the father had the debt. There's a debt here. It's not that the Bechor. The Bechor, we'll see it in the Mishnah on the next Amud, if the Bechor has to redeem himself or not. That's a different story altogether. Here we're speaking about where the father had an obligation. He was alive at the time when the children turned 30 days. Therefore, there's a chov, there's a debt that was created that the father owes. And the children have to pay the father's debt. But which child has got the money to pay the father? Each brother fobs the guy off from one to the other. So I don't understand. Why should it make a difference if it's already been split? Kilo chalku nami. Even before they've split the debts. Nami, lazy the guy behind, lazy the guy behind. Each one says, I got it, my brother. There's coins like a ping pong ball bouncing up and down, basically not knowing who to go to. Right? Look at Rashi. Okay, so yeah, Rashi goes in the line, like I said, the second expression, right? That as he comes to the one, he's like, "Okay, you got to pay me for your father." He's the Amot the Bechor, God, my brother, he's the Bechor. Comes to the Amot the Bechor, he's the Bechor, because they were both born at the same time, go back and forth, can't get the money. So Rashi doesn't understand, the Gemara doesn't understand, even when, if it wasn't split yet, the same idea, look at Rashi. Kilo chal kunami, v'haleke lemeimar, the tarif nichse mishum avihim. So now, Rashi takes the line here, a little bit different to explain at the very beginning. Right, he says, don't come along and say that he can grab assets because of the father. In other words, the debt seems to be, the obligation is now on the Bechor, right? We know the halacha, right? The halacha is that the father has to do Pidyon HaBen. If he doesn't do Pidyon HaBen, so then the community, if not the son himself, has to do Pidyon HaBen. We've spoken about the Vilna Gaon who does Pidyon HaBen himself all the time, right? The chiyuv in the ultimate lies on you. V'amai ketayt, therefore Rashi says, why do we learn in the Mishnah, im natnu v'chule? Natnu, if they already gave, right? Meaning, im lo chilku, chayavi. She doesn't understand why there's a difference over here between whether the assets were already split or they weren't split. If we're talking about a case when the father died after the 30 days. Now, look over here for a second at Rabbeinu Gershom. Right? Look at Rabbeinu Gershom here. Go down to Rabbeinu Gershom, about just over halfway down Rabbeinu Gershom. It's like this. If they hadn't yet been split, there was a shutfut. Right? If there's a shutfut, so inun arvin bay, shebal chov govemahen. If there's a shutfut, he says, yeah, these assets, we'll see in a second now. I'm reading it to you on purpose. We'll come into the Gemara, be back and clear what we learn in the Gemara. He says, there's basically a partnership. And the assets, right, are an arev to the Baal Chov, and the Baal Chov can grab his debt from those assets. Right? So now comes along Rabbi Yirmiyah and says like this. Remember our question, we're trying to answer, when did the father die? Did he die in the first, before the 30 days or up or after 30 days? We said it couldn't be before 30 days. Before 30 days, there's definitely a debt. So it must be after 30 days. So we said, why after 30 days? What's going on over here? And why is he patur? We patur because each part bounces around. That was because they split the assets. The Gemara said, even if they haven't split the assets, it should make no difference, right? It's still a they still could, each one could say, no, not go one from one to the one. So comes along Rabbi Yirmiyah now and says like this, to try and explain what's going on here. And Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zoto merit, right? We try to understand the difference between the assets having been split yet or not being split yet. Okay, that's really what's happening. That's the question we're looking for. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zoto merit, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon. We've got a parallel here now. We've got two such people and their names are both Yosef ben Shimon. Shayu Ba'ir Achat. They were in one city together. V'lakchu Sadeh B'Shuv. They bought a field in partnership. Okay? Baal Chov Gove Ota Mehem. Now there's a guy who, one of the Yosef ben Shimons, owes money to the guy. Right? And now he comes to claim money. And what happens? Again, he comes to the one Yosef ben Shimon. He says, no, I'm not the wrong other wrong guy. That's the Yosef ben Shimon that you borrowed from. He goes, that Yosef ben Shimon. He says, no, you borrowed from that Yosef ben Shimon. Now, how can he prove? He's got a star which says Yosef ben Shimon, the two Yosef ben Shimons. Each one is throwing him from one to the other. Stop here for a second, look at Rashi. Shnei Yosef ben Shimon. Shaya ish echad motzi al echad men shtar chob. One of them had a debt. V'kol echad men ayu medachehu v'lemar lo ani hu ki im chaverai. Like I just said, each one's throwing him back to the front. Say, not me, you got the wrong guy. Go to my friend. And in the meantime, this guy's muzzle came into place. He got very lucky, this creditor. Why? V'lakchu ben shnehem slecha. They bought together a field. Now, when they were in partnership, Toref Baal Chov Chetzia, now the Baal Chov can go and grab half from the partnership. Why? Da Amarle. Look at Rashi now. Go back into the Gemara. Da Amarle. I bedidach mesikne manta, de didach keshakilna. Vibe chavercha mesikne manta, mechavercha keshakilna. What does he say to the guy? He said, listen, up until now, you're throwing me around one to the other. Now, suddenly, I discovered that you own a field in partnership. I'm taking half the field to the value of my debt. If you, the Yosef ben Shimon, owe the money, then it's your problem. And if you, the Yosef ben Shimon, owe the money, then it's your problem. But one of you owe me the money. Therefore, half this field belongs to me. I'm not sure if it's from your half or your half. You go sort it out. Right? Now, go back to Rashi now. So to hear in our case, why does it make a difference if the brothers have split the rechush or not? It's the reverse of the brothers, right? The brothers started as partners and then separated. These guys started independently and then became partners. Right? Okay, v'hachinami, says Rashi. Toref ha-kohen chamisha slaymi anechasim shein yachad. While they're still partners, before they split up, the kohen can take five slaim away from them. He says to the brothers, if you the Bechor, Michel Kalinut, I take from your Pshe. Vim Achicha Bechor, Michel Kalinut, I take from his Shay. Ubain Shnechem, Tit Pashu. And you guys go sort it out. Not my problem. Don't make your problems my problems. I'm owed five slaim. I got my five slaim. He says, not you, not you. You go sort it out. Why do you owe me the money? Not my problem. That is how Rabbi Yirmiyah makes it. That's why it's important. That's what makes a difference, says the Gemara. Contrary Meir, whether it was Chalku or Lo Chalku. That's what you see in the Mishnah. He said, Ad She Lo Chalku, if he gave the money before that split the Rechush, then it's a done deal. V'im Lav Paturin, if not, then they aren't partners anymore, so he can't say to each one, sort it out between you. He can only say that when it works out in partners. So that's why we seem to have settled the fact that we're speaking about a case here of during the 30 days, and they haven't yet split the money, and therefore he can go one to the other, and he can take it. So now says Rava. Just give me one second. Ravana Gershom here explained it very nicely. Okay, well, he explained it nicely. Okay. I'm a Rava. So Rava doesn't like this. He says, no, what are you talking about? Michday, right? Does it can it be? Nichse devar inish, inun arvin bay. At the end of the day, what's the story? The assets are a guarantee. So now what have we got? We've got a Baal Chov and an Arev and a guarantor. Who's the Baal Chov? The Bechor. Who's the guarantor in our case? The land. If we've got a guarantor, it's if someone signed a guarantee for me. It's if I borrowed money from the bank and you and Michael signed a guarantee for me, he's my guarantor. Same thing over here. We've got the assets of the father or the guaranteeing the debt. And the father was still alive, his assets underwrote the debt. So says Rava, Mi'ika midi, is it, can it be, de le dide lo matzi tavale, that he isn't able to claim from him, ul arev matzi tavale, and he can go straight to the arev and get it. Right? There's a problem over here. Look at Rabbeinu Gershom for a second. Mi'ika midi de le dide lo matzi tava. Taha mate betoch shloshim. The father died, we said, during the 30 days. Now, during those 30 days, akati lo ichaye bepidjon. He wasn't yet chayv on a pidjon. The Baal Chov. We're saying the father. We're saying his assets are underwriting him. But when he died, there wasn't a debt yet. You with me? Mm-hmm. Right? Ulenich say, dehavu arev, matzu tavo. And now his assets, which are array, we can go to them. We could never claim from him because he never owed the money when he died. So how can we now go to his assets to take the money? As if the assets are his guarantor, but we could never have claimed from him. Now, you can't claim from an array before you first try to claim from the guarantor. I think even the law in Israel today, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you can't go straight to the guarantor. In the old days, it used to be like that here in Israel, by the way. In the old days, I know for a fact that people who had signed on a mortgage, if the guy didn't pay, they'd go straight to the guarantors. But the law's been changed now. I think it's more in line with the rest of the world. You've got to first go to the Baal Chov himself and exhaust all measures against him. If you can't get the money out of him, then you go to the guarantors. They were saying I'm wrong.
Well, you could basically, a guaranteed contract normally says that you can go straight to the guarantor.
Okay, but if that's a special clause, if it doesn't say that, what standard case law? You wouldn't be able to go to him, right? He's unlucky you can't.
Maybe because of that law, they put in the contract.
Maybe they put in the contract. But okay, the question is, can that override law? But maybe you can agree to anything. Okay, I agree. Okay, but unluckily you can't. We'll see in a second. Look here. We've got a Mishnah. Right? We've got a Mishnah in Masechet Babat. We've all learned this together. Hamal vet charev chaver al de arev. If you lend money to somebody and there's a guarantor in the deal, lo yipara min arev. You cannot go to the arev. And the idea meaning you cannot go to the arev over here is not you can't go at all, but you can't go first. Right? The kaimelan. And the aloche is what? De lo yitva min arev tchila. Look at Rashi here. Lo yipara v'kamelan mai lo yipara lo yitva l'arev tchila ad sheyitba min alove. You first got to go to the guy himself. V'lo yehelo ma lifro. Once you've exhausted the measures and he hasn't got anything to pay, then you go to the guarantor. Same thing over here. Go to the father first. The father wasn't chayev. Says Rava, how can we have this story over here? It's a ridiculous situation. You're telling me that the father died in the 30 days. We're asking the question, when did the father die? We're trying to prove out. Did he die in after 30 days? Before 30? After 30 days, it can't be. Because then, according to every man, would agree that he's, if he died after 30 days, it was a debt. So why should it make a difference if they split or they didn't split? The Gemara says, you're right. So it must be before he died, in the early 30 days. And what's the problem? A bounty went from the others. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Why is it enough, Kamina, if they split or didn't split? It should still be the same. The Gemara says, no. Then Rabbi says, wait a second. How can you say that? Before, if he died in the 30 days, he wasn't a debt yet. So it doesn't even begin. Right? Look here. So the Gemara says, so Rava says no. So therefore, it can't be like in the 30 days. Is it clear? Right? Clear? Right? So if it must be after 30 days, I've got a problem. I mean, we said at the very beginning of this whole sugya, if it's after 30 days, and even Mary would agree that the assets are fully fledged debt, and how can he say it's patur? Remember, Mary the Mishnah said, if he hadn't split, if they already split the assets, they hadn't paid the money yet, they're patru. Why they're patru? There was a debt on the asset. So the Gemara says it like this. No. It's after 30 days. How do we deal with Rabbi Meir with that problem at the very beginning? That how can we patru the assets or meshubad to the debt? He says like this. And if there are enough assets, hachi nami de shakil. What does it mean, hafinami de shakil? Even if it's already split up the partnership, look at Rashi there. Hachinami even takes it. Afilu chalku, even if he split it, even if he may would agree, Because the assets were already indebted, right, during the father's life. And even though this debt is not a shtar, it's not a contract between the kohen and the father. It's as if it's a loan of a baal peh, right, an oral agreement. In words, the fact that the kohen entitled the money, the Torah calls it an oral agreement. The father never agreed to it. The Torah says, by definition, the debt is a status of an oral debt without a contract. Right, the government of Yorshim, im yesh Yerusha keshura chovu. Then he can take it from the Yorshim, provided there's one contingent over here, one contingency, and that is that there is enough money for it. So even Rabbi Meir would agree that if the father left a big enough Yerusha, which is more than 5 slaim, right, 5 shekels to give to the kohen, then even though they'd split up the money, they go and they take it. So what's Rabbi Meir speaking about in the Mishnah? So says Rava. V'hacha v'mayas. Can we talk about in our Mishnah? Kagon deleke ele chamesh slayim. That's our case. Our case is a very specific case where the whole Yerusha was all of 5 slayim. Okay? You could argue like a guy like Bill Gates donated all his money before he died. Okay? So basically he never, all he left his children was that 5 slayim. So I know that I owe the Kohen money over here. I'm leaving in my estate 5 slaves, said you can pay the coin. And now the brothers say, "Oh, well, why must we pay? We only got 5 slaves. Our father gave away his $50 billion to his foundation. Right? And we ended up with 5 slaves. We wanted for ourselves. Right? Ela chamesh slaim. Uda kule almas. And now says the Gemara now. And what's going on over here? How do we get to a stage where we say that he could be patur? Right? So look here. There are a couple of halachot which go together. We've got to focus on that. He says, the kule alma. And says, Rabbi, everybody agrees to the following foundations. One, itlahu de Rabbi Asi. They all agree to Rabbi, that Rabbi Asi's halacha is in place. What does Rabbi Asi say? That Rabbi Asi, ha'achin shechalku, when brothers split, and we learned this by Baba Kama and Baba Batra, when the brothers split their assets, the relationship between them is such that mechtze yorshin u mechtze lukuchot. Remember this? It's if they bought half of their estate, one from the other, and half they were yoresh. So half of, let's say they're two brothers, and their estate was 1,000 shekels, and they split up 500 shekels each. 250 of the 500 is as if they bought from their brother. It's a status of a lakoach. Remember, it's a person who buys something. If there was a pre-existing debt, the baal chov can go to the guy who bought the land from him and take the money back. Remember? That's the difference. And half of it is a Yerusha. So half of it is safe, it's guarded. Half of it is unsafe. Then again, it depend what the debt was. In a case like this, the Yerusha might be unsafe, the bought part might be safe. Okay, so each thing would have its own relevant halochas. But basically the status is half, 50% is Yerusha, 50% because we've got a safek. What's our safek? Im yesh breira. Remember breira? Is do we go back retroactively and say, we can identify that particular piece. Right, and therefore that was yours. The Yorshin, and therefore they're Yorshin, and there's Breira, and it's all opened up for grabs. Or Ain Breira, Lukuchot, you know, and actually bought a portion of it. Hilchach Aloch is according to Rav Asi, Mechza Yorshin, U Mechza Lukuchot. Okay? Look at Rav Gershom right at the end there. Shekna le ze leze chelko. Basically, each person sold the other his half that he has. That's how it would be a lakoach. The half that I actually bought and I sold you your half. So that's why you've got your half, or vice versa. Right? Each one of them sold it to the other brother his half and bought the half from him. So basically, the half that I'm owning of the Yerusha was a deal, and the other half is a Yerusha. So that's the first principle everybody agrees to, that half is Yerusha, half is lakochot. The second principle that they all agreed to, Uda Kula, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Mary the Mishnah said, Im natnu ad shelo chalku natnu, v'im lo pturin. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, nitchayvu nechasim. There's a debt hovering around the assets. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree to Rabbi Asi that half is Yerusha, half is the Kucha. The Kula Alma also both agree to what? The principle that, Milve haketuve betorah, was written in the Torah, Lav kechtuve beshtar damya. In other words, it's a milve baal peh. Okay, it's not a shtar. Now, if it's not a shtar, look at Rashi. They could go pigeon a ben chamishah slayim. The Torah gives the kohen the tzchut, the zacher derachman le kohen. Okay, so therefore, it is a baal peh, right? Milve baal peh, right? And he hasn't got a shtar. So it's a lesser status. What's wrong? Oh, help yourself. Right? And that's the second principle. And all hold like Rav Papa. What does Rav Papa say? Remember, we established that half at Yerusha, half at is a lekocha. Everyone agrees that milveh is al bal, it's a debt bal peh. And now, because we all agree milveh al peh, says Rav Papa, milveh al peh gove mina yorshin v'eina gove mina lekuchot. You can claim from the yorshim, you can't claim from the lekuchot. So now let's just look at our case for a second. We've got three principles here. We agree that half the estate that they've got is lakoach, half is yorish, right? We agree that it's milveh al peh, and Rav Papa says milveh al peh, what can you do milveh al peh? Only from the yorshim. So in other words, what's up for grabs at the moment as far as this coin is concerned? Half of each brother's estate. With me? Mm-hmm. In principle, if the whole debt is 5 slaim, each brother's got 2.5 slaim. Only 1.25 of each brother's slaim already the coin could in theory grab. 2.5, each is 2.5. And half of each of it is Yerusha, half of each of it is a purchase. So 1.25 slaim in the one brother's hands, one brother's hands are Yerusha. The most the coin could ever get out of this deal on his debt is 2.5 slaim, 1.25 from each brother. Okay? Right. So that's what up to here. So that is what Rava says. That's what's going on in our Mishnah. That is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says that im natnu ad shelo chalku, if they haven't split yet, it's a done deal. But once they split it, patur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they're still chayev. So now let's understand now in the background over here that we've got, we all agree that half is Yerusha. We all agree that it's a milveh al peh. And we all agree that milveh al peh is only from Yerusha. So how come Rabbi Meir says chayev and Rabbi Yehuda says patur? Okay, so now, like everyone said, like this. V'hacha, and no, so now, what's our machloket? B'chamesh, v'lo b'chatzi chamesh k'miflegei. Is the coin, when he's got a debt of 5, is it 5 or nothing? Or even half of 5? That's the bottom line, right? And half of 5, you'll see Rashi will say, is love dafka, half of 5, it means even less than half of 5, anything. I mean, is it the whole amount or nothing, or even what's up for grabs? So in my example that I gave, if the whole Yerusha is 5, each brother's only got 1.25, which is available here to be chap by the Kohen. The person who said it's 5 or nothing would say what? Patur. Because he can't get 5. The most thing he can get is 2.5. And the one who says no, even half of 5 is still his, would say chayev to pay because he can still take 2.5. That's exactly what the Gemara says in here. Look at Rashi. Therefore, Rabbi Meir sabar chamesh velo chatzi chamesh. Rabbi Meir says only chamesh and not chatzi chamesh. That's why she says, yeah, therefore patur. Dekivan dechalko, havelei mechze lekuchot. Half of it is lekuchot. Velo ishtai Yerusha ele bet slaim upalga. Only 2.5 is up for grabs in Yerusha. Umipalga lekuchot lo shakin yumin. He can't take anything from the other half, which is lekuchot. Right? De milve alpe lo gavia mi lekuchot. If it's a malveh al peh, isn't it got a shtar? You can't take it from the guys who bought it out of the estate. You can only take it out of the guys who were yoresh out of the estate. Okay? Clear. Right? That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no. Chamesh, v'afilu chetzi chamesh. Look, Rabbi Yehuda, v'afilu chetzi chamesh. Take the last while under Rashi there. U'shakil ahu palge dahada Yerusha. Therefore, he will take the half. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, you chayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, you chayev. Rabbi Meir says, you patur. Okay? Pretty clear, right? So Gemara says, wait a second, right? Even in case you thought it was going to get any easier, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? Ihachi, when Rabbi Yehuda, look at the Rashi Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said, Omer nitchayvu nechasim. The assets are mechuyav, right? The way we just explained it, what is Rabbi Yehuda really saying? Who's mechuyav? Who's mechuyav, the way we explained it now? It's not the assets. If it was the assets, there should be the whole file. The fact that it's only each brother's only chayev of the amount of Yerusha, it means that the brothers are chayev, not the assets are chayev. That's what the Gemara says. Ihachi Rabbi Yehuda omer nitchayev unechasim. Chayev gavra mi ba'ilei. Rabbi Yehuda actually said that the individuals are each chayev. Only, we agree, they're only chayev up to the amount of the Yerusha. Because that's all the love they can take. But it's not because of the assets, it's because of them. They've got a chiyuv But the chiyuv is only up to the bride, up to the thing. Look at Rashi, yeah? Chayav gavra mi ba'ele. V'lo gazaka. Klomar, hachi i'abele lemita. We learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda omer, chayavin. Why they chayav? She'enam pturin the gavra. They're all completely patur. K'lamir ele chetzi chamesh. Mi'am chave. Because at least half they chayav. V'lo shayach. Rashi is not relevant to write in the Mishnah. Nitchayvu hanechasin. That the assets are chayav. Me'achar she'la'achar shloshim meit. Because we're agreeing now, according to Rava, when did the father die? The father died after 30, right? So now, Ele bishvila chaluka shechalku, v'nasu lekuchot, hifshila kohen, afilu l'rabbi yudah gufei, nami. Right? Mimashin chayvu dechassim hifshid mechzim, from the assets he lost half. Rabbi Yudah would agree, because the father died after half. And they split the assets already. And now they've got half lekuchot and half, because we said, the kula alma. Everyone agrees. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir agrees that we've got these principles of Yerusha and lekucha. It's only half. And it's milveh baalpeh. And you can only Torah from the milveh, or from the Yerusha, not from the lekuchot. So Rabbi Meir agrees. That's not the assets. He agrees that the kohen has lost half. So it should have said that the brothers are chayim. Okay, that's the Gemara's kasha on Rabbi Meir. The odd, and furthermore, we've got a bright that says like this, Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achin Shechalku, the brothers had already split the assets, right? And look at Rashi adds in here, Vishnehem Safek Bechorot, like our case. We talk about a case like ours, Rabbi Yehuda's got a brighter, where brothers who have split the assets, and each one is a Safek Bechor, Im Yesh Asara Zuz Lezeh, V'Asara Zuz Lezeh, Chayavin. Yeah, you see, Rabbi Yehuda uses that Lashon. Chayav, he doesn't say, Nitchayvu HaNechasim, he says, they are Chayav. Now, this Zuz Lezeh, V'Asara Zuz Lezeh, 10 Zuz in each direction, Rashi says here, Zuz Lezeh, V'Asara Zuz Lezeh, Dahainu Bet Slayim Upaga, 2.5 Slayim. In other words, this 20 Zuz is 5 shekels. And they've each got 2.5. It was the whole Yerusha was 2.5. Now remember, 2.5, so 1.25 is Lekoach, 1.25 is Yerusha, 1.25, etc., like we spoke about, right? That's what we're talking about, that the brighter. And it says that he's the Techayv, Im La Peturit. And if not, they Peturit. So the Gemara says, Maya Shrazuz, Ziv Ashrazuz, right? What are you talking about? Elaim a Bain, the Yerusha, Bain, the Lekuchot. If you say they've each got 10 of Yerusha and Lekuchot, so therefore, Amel Chamesh, Afidu Chamesh Vachetzi. So then, it's clear over here, right, that, give me 1 second, Ilema, yeah, Mabain Chalek, okay, Rashi adds in here nicely, Ilema, Bain Chalek HaYerusha, Bain Chalek HaLekuchot, right, in other words, with the part of the Yerusha, or the part of the Lekuchot, V'aliktani Chayavin Palga, Dechamishaka Amar, Ta'amar Tekule Alme Itlu Rav Asi, everyone agrees with Rav Asi, that half is Lekuchot, half is there, and everyone agrees with Rav Papa, right, that you can only from that you can only yoresh from the Yerusha, right? So we see over here that Rabbi Yehuda agrees over here. Firstly, we see that Rabbi Yehuda says two things. We see from this brighter that Rabbi Yehuda says firstly chayavin, like we said, and we see that Rabbi Yehuda also says that amr chamesh v'afidu chatzi chamesh. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that they can take if it's less, they should be able to take it. Okay, so now the Gemara says, wait a second. Now you're telling me, so we agree now, we understand that Rabbi Yehuda should actually, he's not saying nitchaya, but chayavin. And we're saying Rabbi Yehuda says that it's dafka 10 each, which means 2.5, which means dafka, right? It's chamesh or chatzi chamesh, but it seems to imply from his brighter, from his example, that it's a minimum is chatzi chamesh. Even Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't agree to if it was less. Let's say that the whole estate was 4 slayim, not 5 slayim. And each brother got 2, and each brother would then only be able to, the kohen would only be able to tackle how much?
One each.
So together it would become 2, it wouldn't become half of 5. In a case like that, the Pesach Yehuda would say, even then he's also patur, the groups would be made. The Gemara says, why dafka? Iachimah iru asara, afilu batzir masra nami. It should even be applied, if Rabbi Yehuda is going on this principle, that it's related somehow to the assets in the chayim, and we don't care if it's a whole 5, even less than 5. Look at Rashi. Afilu batzir masara nami ela shmoni, like it was 8. The lo mat lo koin ela 2 slime. The koin get 2 shaki day. We should take it. However, shaki koin batzir mechamesh koma demitra melei shaki. Whatever he can take, he must take. Tahad amirin chatzir chamesh. When we said chatzir chamesh, the hagot bach adds in here lav dafka. Not specifically a half. Hu adin rabot chamesh v'shlish chamesh. So amai ketani im lav peturi. So now we've got a question over here. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean in this brighter, where he said, if they got 10, which we saw is 2.5 each, so then they chayev, vim lav peturin. Why lav peturin? What do we care? Even if it's less peturin. The Gemara says, Ela, you're right. Pshita, asarazuz yerusha lezeh, v'asarazuz yerusha lezeh. Right, no, what are we talking about? The brighter Rabbi Yehuda is not like we thought, that this 2.5 sla'im that they've got is both made up half Yerusha, half Lekuchot, and actually getting half of 5. It's that they've got 2.5 of Yerusha and 2.5 of Lekucha, and actually the whole estate was 10 sla'im, and they split 5 each. And of the 5 each, 2.5 is Yerusha, 2.5 is Lekuchot. So between the two brothers, there's actually 5. And that's when Rabbi Yehuda says, Yuchayev. So we wanted to say the machloket Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, was a machloket between whether you have to have 5 or you patur. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even less than 5 is okay. It appears that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that either the coin gets 5 or nothing. So we can't make that the machloket Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Is that clear? Clear what I'm saying? So it was al mechamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh sevile. It appears from the Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's only chamesh and not chamesh or chatzi chamesh. We wanted to say that the whole machloket was we agreed with these three principles of that Rabbi brought. Rav Asi said about splitting up, and that is milveh balpeh, and Rav Papa said that milveh is only from the Yorshim. And the whole machloket was whether it's 5 or half of 5, and that's where Meir said chayiv, and Yupatra Rabbi Yehuda said chayiv. It appears even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's either 5 or nothing. So what's going on over here? The Gemara says, you're right. Ela, the kula al mechamesh lo chatzi chamesh. You're 100% correct. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, and that's not the machloket, right? So what is going on over here? What's the machloket to Rabbi Yehuda? V'hacha b'derav Asi v'rav Papa k'miflegei. They're arguing about these principles that we spoke about. Rav Asi says that it's chatzi Yerusha and chatzi Lekuchot, and milveh alpeh, and Rav Papa who says that milveh alpeh is only from the Yorshim. That's the machloket, right? The whole, when we said the Kula Alma, on our, we said, yeah, would the kula alma, everybody, you'd agree on these three fundamentals, then what's it not? That's actually, those 3 points are the machloket. Right? So look inside, yeah? Vachar asked you about public mitzvah, right? And the Gemara actually ends off over here, but look at Rashi. Rashi finishes it off and says like this. Vachar, b'matnitin, b'drav asi, b'drav papa pligi, drav imeir, itle, drav asi, v'rav papa. Rav Asi, Rabbi Meir says he agrees with Rav Papa and Rav Asi that it's only half is Yerusha, half is Lekuchot. And Rav Papa says that it is Milveh Alpeh only from the Yerusha. And Hoyel de Bein HaKol. And since if the whole Yerusha was only 5, then Ein Sham Ela Chamesh, and therefore there isn't, the whole Yerusha is 5. And therefore each one has only really got 1.25, which is up for grabs. Rabbi Meir says, you patru completely, lo shak yomidi. Why? Because he holds of the principle, the chamesh velo chatzi chamesh, like Rabbi Yehuda as well. It has to be 5, not half of 5. Rabbi Yehuda, itad Rav Asi, he agrees with Rav Asi, right, that half is Yerusha and half is Lekuchot, that he agrees with, right? Veleitad Rav Papa, he doesn't agree with Rav Papa. When Rav Papa says, you can only take from the Yerusha, he says, no, I agree with you that it's half Yerusha, half Lekuchot, that's not a machloket. Everybody agrees. But I don't agree with Rav Papa that you can only grab from the Yerusha. El esfirilei de milve alpeh, he holds it, since it's a milve alpeh, gove min alukuchot, as well as the Yerusha, v'shakil kulu. And therefore you can take it all. That's right, Rabbi Yehuda says, also we need 5, but the whole is up for grabs, not only the amount of the Yerusha, even the lukuchot is up for grabs. Rabbi Meir says, no, only the Yerusha is up for grabs. So really the machloket boils down to, the Gemara says that they, but Rav Asi, Rav Papa kamiflegei, it's not really correct. I would say that it's more Rav Papa kamiflega. That they both agree with Rav Asi, but they all give out Rav Papa. That's how Rashi learns it. Clear? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay. The Gemara says like this, V'ikeh dematirah seifa. We learn this whole sugya from the perspective of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says there are some who learn it from the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda. The question was, it's the whole sugya the same, but Rabbi Yehuda said, right, nit chayvu anachasim. That the Nechassim, why even makes that difference when they, if they split it and split? Because the assets are what guarantee it. And then the Gemara asks the question, Debita, and when did the father die? Debita Lachashlot, Debita after Shloshim, Michal remarried Savaki Chilkupaturi. That appears that remarried says that after 30 he dies. Right? But how can it be? Ha Ishtab de Luchasa. His assets are underwriting the debt. I was Ela Betoksha, must be Betok Shloshim. And then Kichalku, so now why do we say Kichalku? Amai Machai Rabbi Yehuda. If everybody split already, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that he's Chayev? Lazy the Gabe High. Go to the one brother, Velitchen, and you fob him off. The Gabe High, the other brother, fob him off. And there comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, Zor Amir Shtay Yosef Ben Shimon, Shayu Ba'ir Echad, Vaka Chabem Sede Vachavero, Ba'chov Gobi Medu. Amalai Iba Didach, Mesakne Menante, Idim Kishakne Menante, Mechavech, Mesakne Meshtabene. Right? Mekame Didach. Brat same idea, the two Rabbi Yosef Ben Shimon, they came, they split up, and they were the partners, and you could take from the other. Same idea over here. Right? And the Rabbi says, what can you take from the asset before the father? And then the Rashi Gemara says, the chuluk lishna kama lach l'asher again. The Gemara repeats itself basically from a different perspective, and that was the whole sugya over there. Okay, right, let's move on. Clear?
Crystal.
Huh? Crystal? Mm. Clear? Okay. Next, Mishnah, shtei nashim. There are two women, shelo bichru. That neither of them had children yet, right? In other words, each one of their children are going to be the first Bechor. Look at Rashi, says, Yashtay Nashim, the very first wild lads of Rashi, Shel Echad. They're the same husband. Okay? So your dream come true, right? Two wives. Okay? And you got two wives. And you got, they are two mothers in law. Okay, we can get around there, but okay.
The right?
Shelo, what?
We know what we do with mothers.
Shelo Bikru, right?
The opposite.
Right, okay. Shelo, everyone's brave when their wives aren't around. All right. Shelo Bikru, right? They haven't had children yet, but Yaldu Shnei Zachar, and they had two boys. Right? Now look, Rashi adds a very, very important point over here. Look at the second wild eyes, Rashi, at the very beginning of the line. Right? V'machvo Shenit Arvu. They were in hiding. Right? They had these children secretively, and they got mixed up. Because the obvious question is, how do these children get mixed up? So Rashi says, no, it's not. It might have been a pogrom or whatever situation over here, where they were difficulty, they were in hiding, and therefore it wasn't a normal situation. And the children, they were in a very confined small place, and they were in the dark. I don't know what. And the children got mixed up. So now, the elder Shlaizachar, Noten Asara Slaim Lakoi. There's not a question over here. There were two brothers. They're two bechorot. They're both wives. Each one had one child. They can't get away from it over here. Basically, he has to give 10 slime to the Kohen. Meitechad mehen betoch shloshim yom. If chas v'chalila, one of them dies in the 30 days before this pidyon haben, im la Kohen echad natan. So now, for some reason, the father had already jumped the gun and given the money to the Kohen before the 30 days was up. Right? See, if he'd already given it to one, if he gave the money to one Kohen, right? Then Yachzilo, the brother, the Kohen must give him back one of the fives. But if he gave it to two different Kohanim, then he can't get it back, right? Because he had the same idea. Each Kohen will say, what do you want from me? The boy who I had a pidyon haben on is still well and alive and kicking. Go to the other Kohen. He's the guy that did it with the son who died, and vice versa. So here, it's a motzi mechaver alavaraya. Exact opposite to how we normally learn it, right? Normally the Kohen is the one who's got to motzi mechaveiro, he has to get the money. Here the father wants to get the money. He's got to prove the father's now proved to the Kohen that it's dafka the Kohen, the pidyon haben that he did at the son died. He can't do it. Now, in the same case, two wives of the same person, they had zachar and a keva. They had one had a boy, one had a girl. Or shnei zachar and a keva. One had two boys and two boys and a girl. So here now again, if it's Zachar and a Kaiva, it's Pashut, right? He only gives Chamesh Slaim Lekoin. If it's two Zacharim and a Kaiva, two boys and a girl, he also only gives Chamesh Slaim one Chamesh Slaim Lekoin, right? Why? Because again, Pashut, the Kohanim will come and say, what is it? Well, you got two boys here. He said, no, but she had a girl and a boy. And he had a boy, and with her, the girl came out first. Okay? That's the story, right? Or she had two boys and one girl, and then also only one boy is the Bechor. So, Iman Avshach, we could find a situation where only one Bechor exists out of these three children. Right? Shtei Nekevot v'Zachar, if it was two girls and a boy, or Shnei Zacharim v'Shtei Nekevot, if they had between them two girls and a boy, right? Or two girls and two boys, Ein Kan Nakoen Klum, and again, Pashut, why? Because if it's two girls and a boy, The father said to the choir, no, both of them had girls first, and the boy was born second. If there's two boys and two girls, they both again. Each one had the girls first, and the boys were born second. Okay, so we could theoretically get out of the Bechor Patu. Achat Bikra, Vachat Shlo Bikra. Now, one of them was her first child, and one wasn't her first child. V'yaldu Shnei Zechar, and they had two boys. Notain Chamei Shlaim Lakohei. Again, yeah, one of them at least we know was a Bechor, because each had a child, the one definitely a Bechor. So he gives a Kohen Chamei Shlaim. Again, now, the two boys, yeah, Meit Echad Mehem B'toch Shloshim Yom. If one of them dies B'toch Shloshim Yom, Av Patur. Right, look at Rashi. The Matz the Meimar Ben Amavakirik, mate. Because why the father says the coin? Dafka, the one who was from the wife who never had a child yet, who was the Bechor, he's the one that died. Okay, Meita Av. So now we go back to our previous Mishnah. So now the other way around. Meita Av Abanim Kayamim. If the father dies and the children remain, Romer, same as our Mishnah. Im Ad Shlo Chalku Natuvim Lo Lapturin. Next to Mishnah. And Rashi actually says here, like our Mishnah, I think, Meita, I'd not know, Kedin or Tosha, Mala, Mishum, Rav Asi, Rav Papa. Okay, Rashi says it. You learned this already, it's Rav Asi, Rav Papa, this story. Vim Lav, Rav Yudho, Meir, Nidchai, Vun, Nechassim. Rav Yudho, Rav Yudho as well. Zachar, Unakeiva, right? So now, if they have a Zachar, Unakeiva, if the father dies, what are we talking about over here? Zachar, in another case over here. Zachar unakeiva, ain't a kohen klum, right? There's no, the kohen gets nothing, because basically, didn't we already have the case at the very beginning there? No. Because we could say basically there was a bechor bun for. Shtei nashim, shoshtei nashim. Now we've got two husbands and two wives. Shelo bikru, neither had children yet before. V'yaldu shnei zacharim, and they each gave birth to a boy. Zinotein chamesh tenim lakohen, zinotein chamesh tenim, each got to give five. Meit echad mehem betoch shloshim. So now, two women and two husbands, completely independent of each other. Right, if one of the children dies, im la koin echad natnu, and both fathers, each one gave to the same coin the money, yachzim chamesh shlayim. Right, im la shnei kohanim natnu, they gave to the same coin, and yuchim motzim yada. Now, zachar unakeiva, if one of them, remember they got mixed up, right? Talking about two fathers and two mothers, but the children got mixed up. Zachar unakeiva, there was a boy and a girl, ha'avot turin. Now, here already we should say that at least one is a bechor. Right, one is bechor. Why they patur? Right, look at Rashi. Avot turin. The kol chad v'chad. Amar le lakohen hanekeiva shelihi. Each one says, "Listen, the daughter's mine. What do you want from me? Go to him." He says, "No, the daughter's mine. Go to him. Go to him. Go to him." Basically, the coins up to back to front. Can't get away. V'haben. But yeah, remember, I mentioned the very beginning of the shir. V'haben chayav livdot et atzmo. You see that, Ellen? But the son, the father's patur. But the son has got a din to do pidyon avon himself. Why? Because it's a safek bechor. Right, look at Rashi. He thought it atzmo. Vaben chayav lived atzmo. The mikom makom bechoru. Right? So Rashi said, yeah, the mikom makom bechoru. Right? Because there were two wives. One of them was Iraq. Not a safek bechor. He's a vadai bechor. Right? Zachar v'nekeiva. He's definitely a bechor. We just don't know. Just with the coin can't prove who his father is. But he's there. No one's questioning he's a Bechor. There were two women. Neither had children before. The one had birth to a son. One gave birth to a woman. He's definitely a Bechor. Not a Safek. I correct myself. Not a Safek. He's Vala a Bechor. Shteina Kaivot v'Zachar. Again, yeah. Two women, two husbands got mixed up. And there were two children, a Zachar. Or Shteina Kaivot, Shteina Zachar. There were two children and one Zachar. Right? Or Shteina Kaivot, two girls and two boys. El Kana Kohen Klum. Same idea. The Kohen gets nothing because each one will say it was the girl first. Echad bikra v'echad lo bikra. One again. One of these women had children before. One had before. She'll stand. She'll two different husbands. V'yaldu shnei. The bishop says, "Zeh shelo bikra ishto notech chamesh tam lekohen." He gives the kohen zachar and nekeiva. If there was a zachar and nekeiva, ain't kind of the kohen gets nothing because each one was said was the nekeiva. That's end of over here.